Continuing our election road trip in New Hampshire, a state in which more people now die of drug overdoses than in car accidents. Last year in the city of Manchester alone, 300 people died of drug overdoses, and candidates are noticing. We visited the privately run Recover Together Opiate Addiction Center in a strip mall in Manchester.
Hey, this is Sarah from Recover Together. So
an employee returned the calls of people seeking help as we watched new patients walk in, some obviously addicted, like the heartbreaking 19-year-old who could barely stand. Some you'd never guess. They could be school teachers or lawyers, all eagerly filled out paperwork and prepared to be monitored.
So there's a cup for your urine sample, and that's the bathroom right there. The light's outside.
In exchange, they'll get a prescription for the somewhat controversial maintenance drug Suboxone, group therapy sessions, a counselor, all on a drop-in basis. It costs $65 a week, no insurance is accepted, and it's been working for an addict who came by to see his counselor. We'll call him Paul.
So how you doing?
Fine.
So you're not working today?
Nope, no work today, taking today off, and got a big job coming up this week, though.
That's a rarity for you.
I broke my tailbone when I was in my early 20s, and I got a prescription of Percocet, and from there, when the prescription was done, I became addicted to it, and so I started seeking that stuff out, and not only that, but I grew up in a small town up in Vermont, and, you know, I take full responsibility for the mistakes that I've made in life. But when you grow up in a household where your uncles and your aunts and, you know, your close-knit family has a history of drug abuse, you know, all your friends in high school and stuff, everybody's doing it. I kind of got caught up in that.
What did you do, I mean, to get those pills?
I did a lot of stuff. I committed some crimes. I was incarcerated for 3 years in state prison in Concord, New Hampshire. My grandmother, I wrote some checks out on my grandmother when I was younger. It's really a horrible road to get down, to go down. And I think people that have the addiction with painkillers, it's one of the hardest things to get away from. You know, I've been coming here for quite some time. I've been taking Suboxone for a couple of years now, and that works really well for me.
It's not another addiction? You don't worry it's another addiction?
Well, you know, some people say that they think it is, and, you know, that an addiction is an addiction is an addiction. But you can function. And I've found taking the Suboxone, it doesn't make you crave doing other drugs. If you're out taking Percocet or Vicodin or, you know, people, heroin, you know, once you do that stuff for a period of time, then you don't have it. You can't function properly, you're sick, you ache, you know, it doesn't matter. Your daughter could be jumping on the bed saying, "Dad, it's Saturday, make me breakfast, can we go sliding?" And you want nothing to do with it because you don't feel like yourself. But with the Suboxone, it allows you to lead a normal lifestyle. And you're talking to somebody here that, you know, when OxyContin was popular, I used to take a lot of that, hundreds of milligrams a day, ungodly amount. It's a wonder I'm still alive.
The addiction crisis has suddenly become a hot topic on the campaign trail. Ted Cruz lost his half-sister Marion. Chris Christie lost a friend. Let's listen.
And when I sat there as the governor of New Jersey at his funeral and looked across the pew at his three daughters sobbing because their dad is gone, it can happen to anyone.
She wasn't prepared to change the path she was on. And then, a few years ago, Marion died of an overdose.
Many of the people who today that are dependent on heroin are because they became dependent on prescription opiates.
Well, you know, they have a tremendous problem in New Hampshire with the heroin, and it comes through the border. We're going to build a wall, number one, because that stuff is pouring across.
Look, I have some personal experience in this just as a dad. And it is the most heartbreaking thing in the world to have to go through.
We can't be here in New Hampshire and not talk about the people that I meet, the grandmothers raising their grandchildren because they've lost their children. I just left.
We understand that substance abuse is a health issue, not a criminal issue.
Bernie Sanders. Before that, we heard Hillary Clinton. Jeb Bush talking about his daughter's addictions. Donald Trump, Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz, who spoke of trying to save his half-sister Marion before she died of an overdose. Carly Fiorina's stepdaughter, also fatally OD'd. Brian Cressy has been hearing the talk on the trail.
Hello.
Hello, Brian.
It is
Brian. It's Robin and Jill from NPR.
Brian is a counselor at Recover Together and a recovering alcoholic himself. I asked him about finally hearing about this crisis from candidates. He made a face. You squeezed your eyes shut when I said that. Why?
Everybody bangs a drum, and then when the song's over, they forget about it. It's great to talk about, but it's the idea that... My job is to encourage the client to understand one thing. The behavior that they've ingrained into their lifestyle needs to be completely wiped out and started over again.
So we'll start with that. You, to treat the physical, this clinic uses Suboxone.
Yes.
The Suboxone, you know, has critics. It is also an opiate. It can be addictive. You say you restrict the amount, but there have been some overdoses. So do you worry about that?
I'm not worried about that because we watch our clients. We take weekly urines. We're very strict with them here.
Is Suboxone, though, one of the reasons that you don't take insurance here? Because not all insurance covers it. Here, people, I think, pay $65 for a week of treatment, which it isn't a lot, but it's more than maybe a heroin addict might be able to pay. So is that why you don't take insurance coverage?
We find that not everybody has insurances or are available to it, so we decided to set a lower rate where people can come in and get a doctor's observation, their script for $65, counseling included per week.
Well, let's go back to what some of the presidential candidates say. Again, so many of them talking about it, but Donald Trump says we need more to get kids to not start drugs. Ted Cruz, again, lost a half-sister to an overdose, says we should stop drugs from coming into the U.S. That's where the focus should be. We should shut down the border. You laugh.
I laugh because it's not just the border. It's the coast of Florida. It's the southern coast of Louisiana. It's the port of New York. It's not just the border where they're going to put a fence up.
And it's not just illicit drugs from what we're understanding. It's people who are going into their mother's medicine cabinet or maybe getting prescribed the drugs.
The new generation now is the RX generation. It's the generation that's able to – they have bowl parties where kids bring 10 pills per person, put them in a bowl where we used to have keg parties. Prescribers are the one of the main problems, of course, with overprescribing. I heard from Massachusetts one of the things they were thinking about doing is allowing that if somebody came into an emergency room on Friday night with an injury, that they would give a 3 or 4 day dose with a non-refillable prescription where they'd have to go to their primary care afterwards and get reevaluated for their injury. So that way there'd be some monitoring, not just carte blanche with a quick prescription out of the emergency room that would cause the problem.
Because what addict wouldn't injure themselves slightly to be able to go into an emergency room to get another?
It happens all the time. I've had people that have had teeth pulled because they wanted to have the pain medication. I've had people have cosmetic surgery because they wanted the pain medication. It's just ridiculous.
I can tell you stories.
Tell me another one. Tell me something I won't believe.
The sad story you won't believe is, I guess, would be how about people taking their dying mother's cancer medication. The dying father's medication, breaking into a neighbor's house who was dying from cancer or something like that, and stealing their pain pills. I mean, one of my clients has two holes the size of my hand in his muscles of his tissues of his legs where he had ulcerated flesh-eating diseases caused by injecting heroin into his veins and his legs. Until he couldn't walk any longer, he was still injecting. Wherever he hit blood, he figured he could get some sort of the heroin into his system. So, I mean, it can just get worse and worse and worse. I mean, please. Think of people that have had Narcan, overdosed, been brought back to life 5 or 6 times.
This is the medication that EMTs now carry. They can bring back somebody in an overdose.
But they'll do it 3 or 4 times in a week. I mean, there's been people that have walked out of emergency rooms after overdosing and went right to their dealer's house to get high.
Do you ever think, again, the pageantry of the presidential elections is going on all around you. Do you ever think, like in some sort of Dante's Inferno, that you're living in a world, in one world, and then there's this other world going on around you with the presidential campaigns?
I think the sad part is the affordability of treatment. I'm very sorry for all the politicians and the ones who are running and have all these horrible stories about their sisters or their cousins or their relatives, but it seems like they're the haves, and I'm worried about the have-nots. At the rate that Recover Together is set up to $65, and with the people we have coming in here, they are people that are on Medicaid, on Medicare, that do not have jobs, and they can afford the $65, and they're getting treatment, and their lives are turning around. We have an unbelievable success rate here at this clinic. Over 80%. It's people who haven't worked in 3 years because of their heroin addiction now are holding two jobs. It's a person that is just getting their daughter back after 3 years of being in foster care. It's something to be able to take the people and sit them down and say, you are now worth something, and let's move on from there, instead of just being classified as useless or no good or an addict. I'd rather tell a person that they have a problem. And I don't classify them. And I work with them to let's get rid of the problem. Mm-hmm.